Now listen to the word of God from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Let's pray. Lord God, judge of all the earth, we praise you that we can come before you not as guilty people, trembling as we await condemnation, but as your children, forgiven of our sins, adopted into your family, those who have come to bear your name. We pray, though, that you will teach us through the solemn and fear-producing words that your Son spoke on earth, testifying to us in your voice of the seriousness of the words that we speak. And we ask this in his name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Whenever we listen to a passage of Scripture, it makes a big difference to know what the context was in which these words were spoken and written. Jesus did not say these things from these few verses in a vacuum. It happened in the course of a very tense discussion that he was having with the Pharisees in the presence of a large number of his disciples and others. Jesus had had a demon-possessed man, a man who was blind and also deaf and dumb, brought to him, a person who the demon had just about cut off this man's access to the outside world. He couldn't hear, he couldn't see, and as a result, he couldn't speak. This person was brought to Jesus, and Jesus healed him, it says in verse 22, so that the man both spoke and saw. His connection to the world was opened up. He was able to receive information about what was going on around him. He was able to hear voices, he was able to see faces, and he was able to speak again in response. But the Pharisees were so hardened in their opposition to the Son of God that instead of confessing that Jesus had been sent by God, which was the only reasonable explanation of what they had just seen, they went to the only other explanation that they could think of that would be strong enough to account for Jesus performing a miracle like that. They said that rather than being sent by God the Father, he was sent by Satan. They said he was casting out demons by the power of Beelzebul, the ruler of all the demons. But Jesus refuted them. Jesus, with excellent logic, but more than that, with authority that had been given to him from God, from heaven, showed them that there was no way that what they were saying could possibly be true or make sense. He says, why would Satan be divided against himself? Why would Satan send one messenger to oppress a person and another messenger to kick the first one out? If Satan starts fighting with himself, that's the end of Satan's kingdom. And he went on to say, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. So we have a question of personal loyalty and a question of what a person's way of life results in. The question of loyalty is, are you with Jesus or against him? There's no third option. In another place, though, he said the opposite, and this can be very comforting to us. He said, whoever is not against us is for us. And you can tell by a person's behavior which side they're on. We'll be getting to that some more. But the second half of this proclamation that he made in verse 30 is, whoever does not gather with me scatters. So we learn not only that someone is either with Christ or against him, but we also see that someone is either a gatherer, one whose way of life is toward reconciliation, toward bringing things together that ought not to be separate, or on the other hand, a scatterer, someone who divides, who separates, who sows discord, plants lies in order to drive people apart and drive people away from God. The one who is a gatherer is on the side of Jesus. The one who is a scatterer is opposed to him. And then he speaks about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Every sin that a person commits can be forgiven. You name it, whatever the sin might be, however awful it may have been, there is forgiveness for that sin, except for one sin and one sin only, and that is blasphemy against the Spirit. Because the Spirit is the one who speaks the words of God into the world. It was by the Holy Spirit that came upon him and anointed him. Even though Jesus was himself the Son of God, the Father anointed him with his Holy Spirit so that his mission would be the divine mission, so that the words he spoke and the things he did would be truly the work of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus came, in the name of God the Father, in the power of the Holy Spirit, being himself the Son of God, and testified to the Pharisees about their sins, and they rejected him, they rejected the Spirit of God standing there right before them, then there was no other way of salvation for them. Once they had rejected God's Spirit, to whom else could they go to receive salvation? Because they had rejected the Holy Spirit, then there was no forgiveness or salvation for them. So we have a very, very serious, solemn, but also joyful set of teachings. And in the meantime, we've just seen a man who's cut off from the world through his sight and his speech being taken from him, and he had those restored to him by the Lord. And it's the same Lord who's just done this great miracle of healing, who's just restored to a man an entire life, who says what we read in the following verses. Let me read these again now with this context, verses 33 to 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good person out of the good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Let me tie this quickly to what's been going on. There are several questions of words that are at play here in the situation where Jesus is facing the Pharisees. A man who's mute, who's completely unable to speak, has just been healed and restored to the ability of speech. Jesus is condemned by the Pharisees, again using words that are not mere words, but actually blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, calling him a servant of Satan. And he responds to them with his words, saying, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, except this one sin, which is not a sexual sin, it's not a sin of idolatry, it's not any of the sins we might expect would be unforgivable, it's a sin of speech. Only this sin of speech is not able to be forgiven. Words are a very serious matter, a very powerful thing. Words have a power which is listened to with respect, both on earth and in heaven. And so Jesus starts talking to them, to his disciples and to the Pharisees, but mainly to his disciples now, about trees. He says, make a tree good. As if we had the power to change the character of a tree. But imagine for a moment that you can take a tree and make it a good tree. And we're talking about fruit trees here. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Make a tree unwholesome, sickly, rotting from the inside, and you're not going to get anything good from it. If you get fruit, that fruit will be no good to anyone. Whatever happens with the tree, whatever is the essential character of the tree, is what will eventually show up in its fruit. There are four potential options, but only two of them you'll ever actually see. A good tree with good fruit, a bad tree with bad fruit. You're not going to run into a good tree and all its fruit is bad, or a bad tree and all its fruit is good. If you plant a bunch of grass seed and then you start seeing dandelions showing up in the middle of the new grass that's growing, you know that they didn't just happen to grow randomly somehow out of grass seeds. There must be something else there, not just good grass seed. Weeds come from weed seeds. You don't get weeds from good seeds that you planted for the sake of good plants that are desirable. Now, this is a serious warning to us, not yet in terms of what we say, but in the words that we listen to. This is a warning to those who hear the voice of Jesus, but also hear other voices throughout our daily life. And we have to decide between all these different voices, each of which is claiming at some level to be telling us the truth. Listen to the words that people say. Listen carefully and consider them as the fruit of the person's character. If you have someone who's speaking spiteful words, seeking to tear other people down, you could be tempted for a moment to listen to that and think, maybe there's something to it. But if the whole course of that person's life is to tear down and destroy one person after another with their words, that is rotten fruit from a rotten tree, and you should not trust that person. If you see a person where the course of their life is speaking good words, words that encourage people, that build them up, that strengthen them spiritually, that encourage them to turn back to the Lord, that is a person of good character. You can tell by their words what kind of person they are. And of course, this isn't just one remark taken out of context, where you try to assign a meaning to it without knowing the background. But if you watch what a person says over the course of time, if you compare what a person says to the other people that they're speaking about, and you start to see a pattern of bad fruit, you know that comes from a person of bad character, and watch out for that person. Don't let their words sink into you and start to affect you. Don't let their words be planted deep inside you and start to bring forth bad fruit from you, because that will be a sign that your own character is becoming twisted. So this applies to the words we listen to, but it also applies to our own fruit. Every word that you say is either with Jesus or against him. There again is no third option. And every word that you say is either reflecting a character that's in the process of becoming more like Christ, or a character that's in the process of becoming more like the Pharisees who hated him, who were themselves the servants of Satan, even when they brought accusations against Jesus that he was. With every word that you say, you are growing to be either more of a gatherer or more of a scatterer, more of a reconciler or more of a person who brings discord, confusion, and mistrust between people. Everything that we say eventually will be active either to bring people closer together, to bring them nearer to the Lord, or to drive them apart. So which of these two things are you doing? As you look at your own character and your pattern of life, and especially your pattern of speech, what tendency have you had? This is a very good line of questions for self-examination. And how do you know? You can see it in the faces of the people who are close to you, how they respond when they hear you speak. You can see it in the effect of the lives of people that you often talk with. What is the direction of their character, especially what decisions have they made, in what ways have they been affected by the things that you've talked about with them? And does that show someone becoming more of a gatherer or more of a scatterer? What kind of effect do you have when you examine it honestly on other people? That's a good way to test yourself, because the words that you say and the fruit that those words produce are a measure of your character. What overflows from our hearts is what comes out of our mouths. We can't claim, I said that, but I didn't mean it. Because everything that you said, maybe it wasn't said clearly enough and needs to be explained. But everything that we say does in fact come from our hearts and reveals something of our hearts. This is a warning to ourselves about our own speech. It's also a warning to us about what others say. The evangelist Dwight L. Moody once said, in 15 minutes conversation with most men, you can tell whether their treasures are on earth or in heaven. You might try this as an experiment, maybe without letting on exactly what you're doing, but in your mind at least, if you meet someone new, or if you talk with someone especially that you haven't talked with for a while, listen to them for at least 15 minutes and think, what does this person's way of speaking reveal about this person's character? Are they showing by their speech that their treasures are on earth or in heaven? What is the source of their ultimate and central joy? So we're faced with a pretty hard question. We may think back to our speech and realize that a large part of it, or maybe even a relatively small part of it, is rotten and evil. And we're forced to admit that that describes our own character, that our character is rotten, is wrong and sinful to the extent that our speech is that way. Jesus says, make the tree good and its fruit will be good. But how do you take a tree and transform its essential character? How do you take a tree that's only born crab apples and turn it into a tree that bears apples that are good for eating? How do you transform your own self? As hard as you try, you might have found disappointment, frustration, realizing you can't change yourself and make yourself something that you're not. And you know that you ought to be different from what you are, and yet you're running up against a wall. What do you do then? The Lord is gracious. The Lord who gives forgiveness from sins to turn a person from an essential destination toward hell and change them to a destination toward heaven, to a person who is regenerate, a child of God, and destined to live with the Lord forever. The same Lord who gave you that forgiveness at the beginning of your Christian life gives you forgiveness for every one of your sins. The same Lord who can give a person a complete transformation of character can repeat that process again and again as often as you need it to happen. And the mechanism is not different. It's not as if you're saved at first by the grace of God through faith in Jesus, and then afterward you have to do something else to continue walking with Him. The way to be close to the Lord, the way to be freed from sin, is always to trust in His grace through faith because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you find that out of your mouth keep coming these things that you kick yourself for afterward, and you think, why in the world did I say that? Why did I say this to hurt the person who's closest to me? Why did I say something foolish that afterward I regretted? The way to overcome that is, again, call out to the Lord and trust in His grace. The grace of God brings all kinds of transformations, not just a once-for-all transformation, but repeated transformations as we are being conformed more and more each day into the image of His Son. Jesus goes on to talk in verse 35 about treasures. We've talked about trees, now let's think about treasures. Because we have the image of a tree that produces good fruit, but this one might be even more direct for us. Someone asks you to pay for something, or to give a loan, or whatever it is that involves coinage. You open up the place where you keep your money. If your treasure chest is filled with good coins, then you open it and take coins out of it, you'll have good coins in your hand. If the coins that fill your treasure chest are counterfeit, false, then you, when you reach your hand in, you're not going to get a handful of good coinage that is truly worth what it says on its face that it's worth. What comes out of you is what already filled you. Again, speech is the overflow of the heart. Now let me take this onto a different level. The words that you say, they reflect who you are. In a sense, the things that you speak are who you are. What you say is who you are. In this, we're reflecting God. He created us in His image. And when God spoke His word into the world, when He spoke His word and created the heavens and the earth by His word, when He sent His word to become flesh and to be a man, Jesus, for our salvation, the word of God is God. The word was in the beginning with God, and the word was God. The things that you speak, they are you. You can't put a separation between your words and yourself and say, well, I know I said these things, I know that I continue to talk like this sometimes, but the real me is someone quite different. No, your words, they are who you are. That is an accurate mirror reflecting your character. If you'd like to make the claim that the things that you say aren't the real you and drive a separation between that, then you have to follow it to the end. And you have to say also that Jesus cannot be truly God. Christ cannot be God if a person's words do not reflect the person's true character. Because here is the word of God. Is He God or is He not? If He is, then the word is the person. The speech of God the Father is the true God. The Jesus whom we worship is the Father because He is the word of the Father. And since that is true, if you've seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. If you've heard a man's words, you do know that man. And the more you've heard of a person's words, the more you truly know that person. And the more that should make you think, both about others and about yourself. So, as you listen to yourself talk, bringing this again to an application to ourselves. As we listen to ourselves talk, let it spur us on to pray. If we hear our own words constantly criticizing other people and tearing them down, let's pray for those people that the Lord will build them up, that the Lord will conform them into the image of His Son, that the Lord will pour out blessings on them and make all their work successful. It's very hard to hate a person and to criticize a person when we're filled up with love for that person expressed through our prayers that the Lord would bless them. If you listen to your words criticizing yourself, tearing yourself down, saying that you're not worth anything, then thank the Lord that He loved you enough to send His Son, that He loved you enough to save you. Thank the Lord that He's given you your life, that He gives you many good things. Start enumerating the blessings that you've received, and you can't possibly have such a false negative opinion of yourself if you remember how good the Lord has been to you, how filled with love for you He is. And if you are talking about politics, talking about food, talking about any other area of life in a way that clearly doesn't reflect the character of Jesus, that clearly doesn't reflect the view of the world that God has given us in His Word, let your prayers be shaped accordingly. Find a way to pray that counteracts what you're always saying. Come to the Lord, and in your conversation with Him, let Him shape you so that you can become a different person and your words will become different words. So now, after considering trees and treasures, we come to the last two verses of this passage, verses 36 and 37. And we talk about the trial, not just any trial that a person faces, but the trial of the world and of all its people on the day of the last judgment. Jesus, the Lord, the creator of the world, who knows? He created the world, He knows the history of the world, and He knows its future. And He will be the one who will sit in judgment on the world on the last day to give rewards to His people and punishments to those who hate Him. He says, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." This is serious, as I've said, but it's also very, very joyful. Because when you look up to the throne and see the one who will sit in judgment on the last day, that is our Savior, Jesus Christ. He says in the fifth chapter of John, "The Father does not judge anyone, but He's given all judgment to the Son." When you consider the final judgment, when you consider whether you will receive rewards or punishments, you know that the one who decides that is the Lord Jesus who has justified you. And in that context, we come to read these verses. Every worthless word you speak will give you something to answer for on Judgment Day. Here, Jesus is speaking about idle words, words that don't go out to work, words that don't do anything productive. Idle words, worthless words, speech that stands around and loiters instead of going forth to do the Word of God. And this is a good lens to use to examine our speech. What I just said, a sentence that I just spoke, you might ask yourself, did that do anything productive for the kingdom of God? Or was it fruitless? Is it going to cause trouble, confusion, drive other people's thoughts down a wrong path? Pythagoras, the ancient Greek philosopher, wrote, "It is a better choice for you to throw a rock at random than a careless word." If you throw a rock and happen to hit somebody, it might give that person a bruise, but a bruise will eventually heal. A word that you've spewed out when you weren't thinking about it, when you were in an unguarded moment, when you were not watching your tongue, not looking to the Lord, that can lodge in a person's memory and stay around much longer than a bruise from a rock ever would. And so, guard your tongue, watch your speech. I preach these things because I know that this is one of my areas of temptation. And I've been thankful at times when I've had laryngitis, because when my speech is suppressed, when I'm barely able to get out a few words every few minutes, it forces me to think about what I'm saying. If I tell a joke and I'm croaking it out, then it really makes me think, was that wise to say? It limits me. And you know, I imagine that this man who was healed, who had been both blind and mute, was grateful to the Lord not only for his healing, but also for the time that he had spent unable to speak clearly. The time that he'd spent when his tongue was bound so that he was forced to hold in whatever thoughts he may have had. When he was finally released from that, he would have had such joy in being able to speak, as well as in recovering his sight, that I hope both of these things were used to the glory of God, who had given him those abilities. Well, you were blind and mute. I have a son who's going to be 8 weeks old on Tuesday. He's not blind. He can see perfectly well. But you might call him mute. He makes noises. He's not able to talk in connected words. And I hope and pray that when he does get to the point of talking, he's going to be talking in a way that glorifies God, because right now he can't talk. He will get that ability because the Lord gives it to him and the Lord develops it in him. Let us pray that the Lord builds in us the ability not just to speak, but to speak words that build other people up, to speak words that are good fruit reflecting a good tree, to speak words that are good coins reflecting a good treasure house. Because we know that on the day of judgment, the product of our life, the whole body of the words that we've spoken, will be held up before us. And they will show whether we belong to the Lord or whether we are his enemies, whether we have truly been his children or whether we've been opposed to him. Jesus has said to us that we will either be acquitted or else found guilty on the day of judgment on the basis of the words that we've spoken. So may the word of God, the Lord Jesus, be known and seen in us and heard in what we say. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, you have created all things by the power of your word. And we too, as small as we are created in your image. And our words have the power to bless or to tear down, to build up or to destroy. We pray that you would sober us, Lord. Make us very thoughtful about the things that we say. Make us eager to say things that bless other people, that build them up, that give them laughter on a dark day, that give them peace when they're in turmoil, that remind them to turn their eyes to you. Words that are productive, that help people to be successful in ways that would please you and glorify you. Give us words, O Lord, to speak that will speed people on in the good work that they do in all the different areas of life, so that when we come to the day of judgment, we would have no fear at all, but only joy, because the words that we've spoken are words that are worthy of God, because what we've spoken has been done by your strength, because of your mercy poured out on us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.